Dave Pezzo. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Pezzo Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Pezzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Pezzo.
Good morning and welcome to Money Matters. Every Monday I come in and talk with Kevin Miller, and we're going to play that. I'll be live after that, so shoot us an email, and we'll talk to you soon.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, and no, that's not Hillary Clinton coughing in the background. That's our friend Dave Pezzo joining us from the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. Pezzo, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No. We were just talking about coughing all morning long, so that fit right into our narrative.
Yeah, she's not very likable. Is she very likable?
Well,
I mean, not just to your audience. I mean, just in general, is it? She just seems snarky when she talks and tries to make a joke, and it doesn't. I don't know.
You deal with a lot of big egos, don't you?
Like
when you go to these meetings and you're talking to the captains of finance. When you're meeting with Warren Buffett and Gates and Zuckerberg and all those guys.
Do you know what? For the most part, the really great people, like some of the billionaires I've met and stuff like that,
right?
Absolutely, are as normal. More normal than I was prepared for. They're just really very normal guys.
But there are some.
There certainly are some. There's prima donnas everywhere, but most of the time, I think that comes out of a political / Hollywood type. I haven't really done anything. I'm really pretty.
Well,
and so everybody loves me. And so I think I should tell you we should do the whole wide world. It's a funny thing, but people who are actually out there working and grinding and doing stuff, Kevin, I've found to be really knowing where they came from, what their roots are. And even I do know a son of a billionaire who's a billionaire, and he works hard. He grew up that way. His parents kept him that way and working hard. And yeah, they're born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but he's still a very normal guy.
I think the issue is that Hillary Clinton is kind of like people, whether they're billionaires or not, and she can't help herself. Like Bill Clinton talks to you.
Yes.
She talks down to you. At least that's my impression.
Yeah. And whenever she says something or tries to make a point, it sounds snarky rather than funny.
Right. And the president that way as well. Like he's giving us a lecture all the time.
Yeah. Very arrogant. You have a very arrogant feel to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas the great communicators, Bill Clinton, I mean, you're his new best friend, even if you disagree with him with everything.
I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but many times I've heard people say that when he walks into a room, I've heard reporters and people speaking about it say everybody knows Bill Clinton's entered the room because he just sucks the air out of the room.
Right.
Not in a bad way. He's very, very charming, electrifying.
Indeed. So is there anything electrifying with the return of work? You know, you've had 4 or 5 months off.
Yep.
So it seems like it was just Memorial Day. Now Labor Day is over. So the good times are over. It's time to get back to work. Yes.
Got to get back at it. I know. No more one-day work weeks or whatever.
Exactly.
You know, Wall Street will go back to work. That's the thing, too. It's interesting. Maybe the market activity will pick up, Kevin. As you know, it's been really slow on Wall Street, right? It's been very, very slow. It's been slow everywhere. That's what happens in the summer. We're not like Europe where nothing gets done. But in the United States, the trading, if you will, business moves rather slowly. Decisions aren't made. Projects aren't done. Why? Because the key people aren't all in the room. And so you don't get major decisions made. The fall is when that time happens and things start happening. As far as trading on Wall Street, people start showing up and getting back to work. The A team, if you will, is now back off of the beach. And so they're back in town and more trading will get done. Therefore, markets tend to have a little bit more movement.
Well, and are we seeing that with any of the local companies here? We had Cliff Bars last week. We covered that at 580kido.com, building a new facility in Twin Falls. And people seem to be enamored with Twin Falls, whether it's Chobani, whether it's Cliff Bars, whether it's other folks. Governor went down there last week, a big news event, adding more jobs.
You know what? One of the things that people talk about, yeah, well, cheap labor. You know, it's cheap labor. We you know, low wages or what have you. Yeah, that's part of it. This is the point they miss. You don't just looking for cheap labor. You're looking for cheap, qualified people that show up, do their work, and in other words, productive, lower cost, productive workers is what people are looking for. And Idaho has them. It's a little more expensive here in Boise, so moving towards the middle of the state makes some sense to me. But again, I think Twin Falls must be doing something pretty special for these local companies in any kind of tax breaks, in getting rid of red tape to allow them to get these facilities put up quickly. It's phenomenal what's happened down there in the Magic Valley. So I hats off to them.
Indeed. I still think that it would be nice if it happened here, but the Treasure Valley can't have everything. But we do still see more and more folks coming in. We just still see more and more building going up. We see people looking for construction workers. Will that last in your view?
Right now, Kevin, you have to say it does, because building begets more building, right? I mean, it's the prosperity begets more prosperity. People move to the area. They want to live here. We've got a vibe going on in both Meridian as well as downtown Boise, Kevin. I know it's kind of a sore spot when I only mention Boise. But, of course, I mentioned Boise as the entire Boise area.
I have to tell you, I have an issue with the Spirit of Boise Balloon Classic. I think it should be the Spirit of the Treasure Valley, but I was outvoted on that one. So
I figured you'd want it to be called the Spirit of Star.
Yeah. 580KIDR, great friend Dave Petzo with us, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial, on Facebook, on Twitter. As we move along, though, when people come to Idaho, these folks from California or Utah or what have you, and they integrate into the community. You know, I met somebody who's working at one of the major employers coming in from Portland. Is there a learning curve with these folks coming in, because business is different, let's say, in Portland or Seattle than it is in Boise or Meridian?
Sure it is. And you also, any community you go to, when you're trying to build something in Boise, it's much more difficult than, say, it is over in other communities around Boise. Boise is difficult if you're trying to build things. Again, I'm not a contractor, but contractors tell me these things, that Boise has very, very tight building codes. And so you have a lot more red tape in Boise than you do just surrounding. Well, that also, though, compared to Seattle, we don't even do a check compared to Seattle, right? I mean, my daughter lives in Seattle. I'll give you a quick example. And she's doing this landscaping project up front at her house, right? It's just a little, I don't know, what do you want, like 100 square feet of yard. That's all they have. And so it's a very tiny, tiny yard.
Quite an expensive.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's off the charts. You cannot imagine. That's another story. They have had three people come out to give their assessment and opinion of the landscaping project with the city. They have two more to come out. And so we're walking. And, of course, she's not remotely as, let's say, libertarian as I am. And so she didn't. But she still finds this ridiculous. And what an unbelievable bureaucracy. It's just unbelievable how long it takes to do anything at all there. So as people come to different places, they're going to find whether it's easy compared to where they were, whether it's harder to do certain things. They will find some differences in how business is done.
Other issues that we're concerned about. We've had a lull in the rise of gas prices. It's been very refreshing for the past few months, or maybe even a year. Year to date, gas prices down. Now we have this issue at 580KIDR where the Russians and the Saudis are getting together to try and stabilize prices. So oil is surprisingly up based on this news.
Right, because supposedly they're going to quit pumping so much oil. And by the way, guess which stock market, if you will, two stock markets are doing extraordinarily well in this low oil price environment?
Which?
Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Russia hit an all-time record. Pretty crazy. Again, when people bid prices down, the other one, by the way, is the disease-infected, terrible political situation, corrupt Brazil.
Their stock market doing well.
On fire, on
wow.
fire, on fire, on fire. And it's, again, I don't mean to say this, but it's another story. Those countries are not doing well economically, but it's just another lesson of Main Street and Wall Street, Kevin, being two different animals. And they're very, very different animals. So these two getting together, just rumors, it's just talk, and now it's a reason maybe that oil prices can stop falling and maybe rise to a more normal level. And what I mean more normal.
It's almost like you're cheering
for
that.
Cost of production. It actually, I do. I am from a standpoint of not too high. Let's say I'm, you know, we're looking for the Goldilocks here, where it's just like right in this $50 range, where the energy companies that are alive or should be alive can stay alive, and those that are overlevered are gone, and we're not doing too much drilling, and also the bad guys in the world don't end up with all the money. There's lots of bad guys with oil.
I see. So you okay? We'll just move on here at 580 KIDO. Apple unveiling the iPhone 7. And many people are saying that perhaps our love for the phones has peaked and that all of a sudden people may be over getting the latest Zappo-Wappo gadgetry thing. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, yeah, we are over the wow factor of an iPhone. It's been out for over 10 years now, so the thing that is amazing, I still find it amazing, but I still find the fax machine pretty amazing. So, you know, but I'm over my enthusiasm of a fax machine, and the same thing hits us with all of this. What Apple is amazing at, though, and people, if you will, the next iteration with Apple is going to be recurring revenue. You know, streaming music is the next big thing, I believe. And we'll see. Will it be an Apple car, or will they just be in every car? Probably they'll be in every car. What are they going to do with TV? There's a lot of different things, but it all brings us in this beautiful Apple environment, if you will.
You know, but on the other hand, perhaps it's catching up with them, no more Steve Jobs.
It could be. Kevin, I don't know. You know, he was an amazing guy. There's no question about it. And amazing visionary. It's hard to say. And Cook was, I think they made a great 1-2 punch, right, where he was the creative guy and Tim Cook made it happen. He made it practically happen. Is there a creative guy there like Steve Jobs? I don't think that, you know, they probably broke the mold with him. So the answer is no, there's not. But there's an awful lot out there. And in many ways, sometimes the originator leaves. And yes, there's a lag period, but then there could be other growth that never would have occurred, because those other people never would have been able to fill that void. So we'll see what happens, because we're now getting to the point where a few years after his death, we would be seeing not the continuation of Steve Jobs' path, but now beginning to start to see some new things.
More coming up with Dave Pezzo next. We'll talk a little bit about the election and how our shopping patterns have changed from at the store to online. Your questions, calls next, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Kevin Miller, Dave Pezzo, 580-KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO. This is Money Matters with Dave Pezzo on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
And 580-KIDO, our great friend Dave Pezzo with us as we continue on rolling here. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about Apple. They seem to be in trouble with the EU.
They are in trouble with the EU.
Well, and a lot of people can relate to this, Dave. A lot of people that I know in business, big and small, don't pay their taxes. Now, I pay my taxes. I'm assured that you pay yours. And if you don't, it's okay to – no one else is listening. So.
Nobody's listening? No.
Right.
No.
The IRS is definitely not listening to you.
I'm building a bunker with the millions in back taxes that I owe. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. You can buy tanks with, yeah.
Hold on. I'm fighting the urge to totally go off course and talk about the story in The Economist and the story in The Washington Post about people moving to North Idaho.
Oh, yeah. You showed me that article. That was good. That's good. All right. Back to the EU. Back to the EU, Kevin. Focus. All right. This is a huge story, though. This really is. It's not about Apple. People think it's about Apple. It's not about Apple. This is about the overreach of the European Union. Now, this is not a political statement. This is a fact. Ireland does not want anything to do with this. Imagine the United States having an overlord that said, hey, you know, our tax policy is this. And the overlord says, no, you know what? That's not a good idea. We think it needs to be this. Mm-hmm. No, we don't want to do that. No. We're going to go get $14 billion. We'll give it to you. No, we don't want anything to do with it. So Ireland is appealing against this decision. Britain's over there saying, hey guys, Apple, you know, hey, psst, we just left the European Union. If this doesn't go well for you, why don't you come on over here? The European Union, in their arrogance as all lords of overreaching lords on the progressive side, they all do the same thing. We're smarter than you. We know more than you. Therefore, you need to understand that this is the way it should be. That's an astounding thing. And they still, even after Brexit, don't get that people don't think that makes any sense, that a body that has nothing to do with you somewhere else knows more about what your tax policy should be, your immigration policy should be, how you should be, what all your rules should be for shipping, for clean air, for everything else. We know better than you. It's a one world order thought process that the EU has overstated. Now, to say it's not about Apple is a very important point. This is about every single international company. It's about Google. It's about Microsoft. It's about Intel. It's about every country around the world that's trading and doing business. To have a country like this or a body like the European Union to step in and say, you know, the tax policy you've been under for the last 14 years, we're going to say that's not good and you owe us back taxes for the whole thing. Who the heck does that? Even the United States doesn't do that. We never do that. You don't go back and say, we made a mistake years ago, and although you followed all the tax policy and all the rules and all the regulations back then, we're going to back tax you then because we changed the rules today. It's ridiculous, and it is a huge overreach. And my hope is that this is another devastating blow to the EU, that these idiot bureaucrats go away.
Dave Petzl with us here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave, the host of Money Matters, 8 to 10 every Saturday. You can catch him at the Petzl Center. So let me hit you with this one. I like to browse a lot lately.
Browse where? For like, food, for clothing?
Why did you go to food? What does that mean?
The first thing that popped in my head.
Not that I'm sensitive about food, but anyway, I like to browse a lot, you know, live vicariously. You remember in the old days when you'd get the Sears or the Montgomery Ward Christmas catalog.
Oh, I loved it. I know. Yeah. I just hours pouring through it as a kid, right?
Right. Every day, you know, what was on there. Well, now we have the online version, whether it's Best Buy or B&H or any of the – or Amazon, mm-hmm. when it comes to electronics. So, you know, I'm fascinated because our company is in this digital realm and cameras and photos. And being at the Balloon Classic – I mean, everybody was like Peter Parker. They had their professional cameras and setup. You ever talk to a camera guy?
Oh, well, my daughter's a pretty good photographer.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So pixels and mm-hmm. exposure and...
Yeah, time.
This stuff. So you can talk to those folks. And then you start, whether it's Amazon or Best Buy or any of these things, so you start clicking. So then I've noticed now that all of a sudden you get the ads that pop up everywhere.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Buy this camera, buy that camera. And then all of a sudden I've noticed that now Amazon has gone a step further where they will have a package that has a camera, this, that, and the other. And then they compare it to Canon's, and theirs is cheaper than Canon's package, which I don't know how they do this. And this is this a new, perhaps maybe not new, but new to a lot of folks like myself, a new way of comparative shopping where the algorithm or whatever already picks something out and not only picks out the price but then does the comparison shopping so you have it next to each other.
Yeah, wow. That's kind of pushy. It really is. I'm not sure how to think about that in the world going forward of retail. You know, where people pay to be on the site or do they pay to have you compare your competitors favorably? How much more does Amazon receive because the Kevin Miller line of clothing is compared favorably to Calvin Klein and put at the top as a suggestion in the basket?
I thought about the new business I'm going to go into, and it's just long sleeve T-shirts with like a pocket. And you can see the mustard stains here today. The shirt was washed, but a pocket just for your phone. Now, usually it's, you know, they used to be for pencils and stuff, but just a pocket.
Just a pocket.
Like your shirt. It's a button-down shirt, but you have a pocket.
Yeah. A nerd pocket.
Yeah. I think it would go over pretty big.
Okay.
Just a T-shirt, a long-sleeve T-shirt.
Do you need a spot for your pens? And
yes, or your phone. You know, you put your phone right here. Well, there's no...
There's no nothing. But that's what the side thing is on your cargo pants.
That's if you don't have a protruding waistline. 580KIDO, as we continue on, Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller. So getting back to this article that we haven't talked about, this everybody moving to North Idaho, it's been quite a big business. You have Harvest Right, that advertises with us, they've gone from selling 80 freeze-dry units a month to over 300, and the price point is from $3,000 to $10,000 per unit because of the prepping. And then you have people specializing in real estate in North Idaho, you know, Revolutionary Realty or something of that nature, where you come in, you buy some land near the river, blah, 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 isolated.
Right.
And you have people spending big money to do this.
You do. There's a lot. There is a lot of money up there. I was just up there 2 weeks ago, and I
was blown away. And your fortress of solitude.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was, and it is astounding. Now, I got the great fortune of playing golf at Black Rock, which is a very, very up-end community. But it is something else as you're driving through the country there. It's a very prosperous area, Kevin. It is a really prosperous area up there, Sandpoint, Coeur d'Alene. And you're right. There's an awful lot of ranchettes, if you will. There's
right.
a lot of land available up there.
I mean, people are spending between $50,000 and $150,000 to build bunkers underneath their homes.
Yeah, well, okay.
Eventually, and look, we all want to, you know, watch the Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead or the Dead, but being cooped up in a bunker, and even if you have everything, you're going to go crazy after a while. I
would think so. I'm not sure that's – I don't know. I don't live my life that way.
Right.
I find it odd. I find it very odd, very frankly, that the –
But what about the business model of that? What do you make of that?
The business model?
Thing, yeah.
Absolutely. It's just business filling a need. There's people out there that feel that way. Talk about preparing for the end, and that's what they do, so there's a business that's going to open up as an opportunity to provide for them, and so absolutely that's the beauty of a capitalist system. We don't tell you that you can't live that way. I may not understand it. I may think it's kind of crazy, but that's fine for you to go ahead and do that. You want to build a bunker? Well. Maybe I'll think it's crazy. I could, but I'll just go ahead and find somebody that's going to go ahead and pour concrete and knows what they're doing about digging and building a bunker and sell it to you. So that's the beauty of it. We don't, in a free society, people can live how they want to live as long as it doesn't impede on somebody else. And it certainly doesn't if somebody wants to build a bunker underneath their property.
Dave Petzo, anything else we should be looking out for this week?
Kevin, we are getting back to work. I still think it's going to be fairly slow, fairly dull, but we're going to be getting back to work. And here's what you're going to hear a lot about. September's the worst month. And here's what you hear all the time. The doom and gloom is so thick, it's ridiculous. And yet, what is the market doing? It's just been marching higher. Not racing higher, but marching higher. So be aware of all the inputs that you're putting in. All the doom and gloom. It's all over. It's all over. It's all over. When this happens, that happens. Just stop sometimes and say, are they ever right? Or are they just filling time and selling newsletters and selling equity indexed annuities and stuff like that? Is that what's going on? Or is it all doom and gloom? It's not all doom and gloom out there. So be careful about your own fear monitor inside of you.
Dave Petzo, we always appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to Kevin Miller on Idaho's Talk Station 580 KIDO.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's Talk Station. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KIDO.
Hello and welcome and thanks for joining us. Hey, do give us a call if you have a question. It's 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. If you have an email question, and do shoot those over because in the second hour, it will be a recording. So, but anyway, we've got a little bit of time left in today's live part, and I wanted to talk a little bit about fear, but we're going to talk a lot about that in the second hour. So I will come back to that a little bit, but I first wanted to talk about this incredibly dull time we have been in, which was broken on Friday. And it happened to break on the downside, but for 40 trading days, this is the first time in 40 trading days that the market has moved 1%. That's an extraordinary amount of time. It's an extraordinary period of dull. And when it breaks finally, then a lot of the people that have been extremely bearish, sitting out of the market, positioned wrong. Frankly, I've been cautioning people perhaps for months or even years about, you know, whether it's inherent volatility, whether it's inherent interest rates have to go higher, all of those things taken together, they come out of the woodwork like they've been, like, super right, okay? And, of course, they haven't. They've been super wrong. It's just the opposite of that, by keeping people out. It's not that we're here to try to point out how wrong these people have been. You know that. It's that it now appears that they talk louder and it's a stronger case to be made, and we really do need to step aside, to change our position. And we ride it along, and everything's fine, and it's just going higher, and we just kind of enjoy it, and it's all sunshine and roses. And we get one day, and it feels a lot like there's no sunshine and roses out there, and it's a very normal reaction to a break. Now, I don't know if next week we are going to head down where this was a one-day deal. None of us know until the week is over next week. We just don't know. We don't know if people are going to come in with the cash that they've been earning nothing on. We just don't know. But one thing that we do know, and you are not hearing, is that the market reacted terribly on Friday to what? Okay, well, it was fears of rising rates. We're afraid that interest rates are going to rise. Well, that makes good sense, because rising interest rates are terrible for stocks, and the only thing that the market's done has been going up because, and only because, of central bank's intervention. That's it. Nothing else. No other reason under the sun could be a reason why stocks would go up. And you know what? That's not true. It's just not true. That's a tough one. That's a super hard one for people, because it's said so many times that interest rates rising are bad for stocks that people do, in fact, believe that. But it's not true. It has not been true. Now, could it be true for a day? Well, I guess. Yeah, okay. But the concern is this, right? If I had a predictive mechanism that was 100% for 6 months from now, would I accept that? Or would I guess that what I should do is zig and zag in between? Here's what I mean. 100% of the time, when interest rates are this low, then they're super low. And what I mean by this low, I mean below 4%. We're way below 4%. But 100% of the time, when interest rates have gone up from a low level, the market's been higher 6 months out, 100% of the time. In other words, the exact opposite of what everybody's afraid of. With interest rates going up, we need to get out. That's just not been the case. Now, if somebody wants to make the case that this is the one time in history that that's going to be, then you can make that case. I wouldn't make that bet. I wouldn't take that bet. That seems crazy to me. But you could make the case, but what you can't do is make the case that when interest rates go up, stocks go down, because they don't. They don't. Not from this low a level. Now, when interest rates are above 5%, then almost all the time when interest rates go higher, the market is down 6 months from now. We're nowhere near 5%. And say, well, that's not what I'm hearing. I know that's not what you're hearing. I know that. I get it. But if you think financial reporting is 100% accurate, if you think financial reporting is super smart people that check the facts and data and don't just, you know, use cliches all the time, you know, it's kind of like, really? Right? We know better. They don't check facts. They don't check data. They just say, and they repeat each other. Nobody checks. So we get our first move of 1% in a day, in 40 days. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. It's kind of fascinating, really, when these things break and we go through long stretches like this when there's supposed to be such volatility. And then we hear so much negativity and reasons why this 1% move happened. And sometimes we just have to pause and go, wait a minute, okay, is that the reason why? Or is that just a short term, meaning that may be true today because the algorithm sold off stocks on interest rate moves or what have you today. But fundamentally, everything's fine. Because interest rates going higher means the economy is getting better. I don't see it as a negative, although it's reported that way, that Germany finally on a 10-year bond went positive. Literally, they've had on 10-year bonds has had negative interest rates since Brexit. Negative. That's not negative. When the fear comes out that the economy is better than people thought, that Brexit isn't the disaster that people thought, and so it might be okay to own something besides bonds at negative interest rates. That doesn't sound scary to me. That doesn't sound fearful. That doesn't sound crazy. That sounds good. Interest rates in Germany moving from negative to positive is good. And if it causes a 1% or 2% dislocation in the market for a day, first of all, I'd go, all right, whatever. Gosh. But fundamentally, do I think that it makes any sense to worry about that? Or fundamentally, to even weigh it? Oh, interest rates are now, 0.1% in Germany. That's way worse than being negative when we're all scared to death that the world is ending. No, that's good news. Period. Right? It's good news, period, fundamentally. So if technically markets go into gyrations for a day. Who cares? So interesting to me, we break it. We did break to the downside 40 days without a 1% move. 40 days. Incredible. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, feel free to give us a call. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station. Money Matters with Dave Petso on Idaho's talk station, 580-KIDO.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-KIDO, that's our number. Do give us a call. We're just going to be live here till the second hour starts. And we'll be talking about, I mentioned all of the fear, and we'll talk a lot about that in the next hour. But it is astounding when you look out and you read, and just stop and look at, for example, the headlines, whether it's internet, Yahoo Finance, all negative. Well, other than, Donald Trump will ruin the entire world column that's usually there. There is always negative commentary. And all the ads that run are 100% negative or crazy, right? Something like, are you on our email list so that you can get our latest 10,000% gainer, type of stupidity. But it's all negative, all the time. And when you think about how negative things are, in a way on you, it's like, well, I try to read the news. I try to keep up on things. But when we do that, go through this constant negativity, are we really able to have a clear picture of that? I think not. I don't think it's really possible to always have one side told and one side only. But to rise above that, it's just really not, it's not real easy for the, at the very least, okay? Almost every article is negative. Almost every single one. And there is so much cash on the sidelines. So much. Trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And it's been that way for years. For years. People have missed the greatest recovery in history from fear. And I think this this constant misreporting, if you will, this constant mantra that the only reason the market's higher, the only reason that stocks go up, the only reason is central bankers' intervention. It's not because there's record cash on the balance sheets of global corporations. It's not because their balance sheets are the best they've ever been. It's not because the profits are high. It's not because their cash flow is at record territory. It is not because they pay the highest dividends ever in their history. No, it's none of the above. It's only because of central bankers' intervention. And when we constantly say that, then there's this feeling it's all phony. And as soon as they take that away, it's gone. All those profits are made up. All those dividends, they're made up. The repaired, beautiful balance sheets are not good. You see, when we have this constant mantra where we're not thinking, we're not looking at anything with common sense, we just simply repeat. Blah. Here's the negativity. Blah, blah. And we do that and don't think. Then we just can easily say and fall into, I think I'll just, I'll just hold some cash for a while. We'll get a better chance. Thousands of points ago. Thousands and thousands of points. Rough. It's hard. No doubt about it. All right. Here's what we're going to do. I know Mike's calling in. Mike, would you just hang tough? Let's get our final break out of the way. So we've got a couple minutes to talk with you on the other side. Our number, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's talk station.
I've got some things on my head, and I just wanted to talk about it. This, I think, is timeless, really, because what I want to talk about is our fear of the Brexit and getting out and the elections and all the things that seem like current news. But they're not. They're really not. Because if it's not that, it's something else. It's always something else. There's always stuff to be worried about. And although it sounds like maybe it's something we've talked about before, it probably is. And I'm not sure that there's anything new under the sun. Except our way of perceiving that and our way of dealing with it. Can we or are we dealing with all of the 24-hour news? Do we deal well with that? I don't think we do at all. It just is more and more and more noise. And so as we enter in to a situation like Brexit, which is seems like panic, is it? Or do we come to the understanding with these major movements in the market that trillions of dollars were positioned wrong and had to be repositioned. And that's messy for a couple of days. And then the market flies. Did it fly because there was great news somewhere? Did they do a recount and like, whoa, no, we're not going to do that. Did all of the ministers come out and go, no, you know what, well, this is going to be smooth, we'll make it okay, it's all right. No, they didn't. As a matter of fact, they were kind of contentious, weren't they? Weren't they a little bit snippy over there? Like, yeah, no, hurry up, get out of here, go. And then the constant news of bad. Some of it, frankly, is political bias, right? People who believe in a one world order. I mean, obviously, somebody like the president, Hillary, they're upset about it. They don't like it. So it adds to the whole, this is a bad thing, because what the Brits are saying was, we don't want a bigger entity, bigger government out there. We want freedom. We want smaller government. We want to make our own decisions, not Brussels. It didn't fit the narrative of the progressives, the liberal media. It doesn't fit. And so the yelling gets bad. It gets higher and higher. And they bring out really smart people that agree with them that this is really bad, that the economy is going to tank. And what I'm trying to say is, this isn't about Brexit. It's about everything. And that markets move, and then they go back to all-time highs. And sometimes when markets move, it's nothing more than this. Money is being repositioned because it was pointed the wrong way. It's not a world-ending event. It's not something to be feared. And when we think about all these things that are fearful, just in recent history, oh, I don't want a history report. There he goes again. He's going to rally about all the, you know, World War II and how we defeated the Soviet Union and all those things and how we managed to get through Jimmy Carter and blah, blah, blah. How about we just kind of recent history? All of that's true. And we always forget, that there is no emotional attachment to history. It's done. The only emotion you have to history is like my love for my grandfather, who's gone. And I still feel that love. That's it. But we can't say, I feel how those people felt sitting in Boise when Pearl Harbor was bombed. I wasn't there. I didn't feel it. And even the people that were there, and there aren't many, of course, but it fades. But it isn't less severe, less amazing that the markets are resilient and rebound than it is today with a Brexit. Ooh, it's so, the problems of today are so much worse than all of history. This is the way we feel because you can't tie emotion to a past resolved problem. The evil of Japan, that was Japan, they were evil and they were defeated. The evil that was Nazi Germany was defeated. But it was awful. It was earth-shattering. But we forget that all of those awful things that get resolved were really awful. But we can't tie the same emotion to unresolved or to resolve problems that we do to the unresolved problems of today. Fear.
is a tremendous motivator, or would you call it a demotivator? But we don't talk about it because we don't want to think we're fearful. We're not living our life in fear. Where are we? And fear sells product. It sells high commission equity indexed annuities to people that go for a free dinner and get trapped in products that won't work. Can't work. They don't lose money, but they won't win either. False promises, as long as we hide that behind a guarantee, is motivating with fear. What is in your safe, says the washed-up actor, who, what, is a financial guru now? Really? This is what we're going to get our financial advice, is a fear-based commercial from a washed-up actor. Or better yet, we're more thoughtful than that. Much more thoughtful than that. We read all the blogs from all the thoughtful, not one-sided, not trying to promote their website, not trying to sell gold or other newsletters and products, but really thoughtful economists or what have you. See, we also get caught in our own intellect, don't we? It's not just like, oh, I'm not an emotional girl. I read deeply. Let me ask you this question, deep reader. Do you read the same stuff? Do you have a high level of confirmation bias? I already believe this, therefore let me confirm by reading more people that agree with my opinion. Fear sells. Fear sells. Always has. Always has. It always has. The budget deficit. We can't get out from underneath this. Negative interest rates, the Federal Reserve. Why don't I wait till after the election? Why would you wait till after the election? Well, you know, because of fear. Fear of the outcome. Has that been important in the past? If we have a Republican, does the market do better than Democrats and so on? The answer is no, it doesn't. See, when we think about that and we kind of pull away, and even in a common sense way, you would say something like this. Does, at least to me, it seems like you would at least equate it to really awful places. Okay, so let's suppose we're in this place. And I think, you know, it's safe to say that most people are quite worried about the progressive movement in America, including recently one of the chief justices has decided that it's okay. It's okay to proclaim how I will vote on all matters before me before they even come to me. I really, what's the point in hearing the case? I'm just going to check out because I'm going to vote the liberal way. I have proclaimed that on national TV. Wow. Wow, that's great. What an intellectual mind. And are we going to have more of that? More progressive. Less freedom. And if we do, what is that going to look like for our economy and our future? And I say, look, that probably looks a lot like Europe. Most all of Europe is extremely liberal, probably used to be, probably finding a lot of problems, deficit problems, employment problems, economies super slow, and now terrorist problems.
But that's where they are. Does Procter & Gamble and Clorox, General Mills, Coca-Cola, et cetera, do they sell product in an awful environment like that? And do they make money? Is their cash flow increasing from these places? You know the answer. So if they can deal with that, do you think they can deal with, dare I say, like a Hillary or Donald? Can they? Well, I just think we ought to wait till, okay. And then we will find the next problem to wait on. And you miss it. We always have a reason not to invest. There's always something to worry about. It's what people do. I spoke recently with a fellow who had sold his property. And he's just sitting on a big pile, earning zero. And I'm sure talking to lots of people, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And not pulling the trigger. There's always a reason not to invest and wait. And if there's not, I'm not pulling this out of the hat. I'm saying the last time everybody knew that investing was the only game in town was 1999. It really was. Fearless investing, lever it up, day trade, IPOs, buyair.com. Don't buy like dividend paying. Dividends are stupid was the name of a book. Dividends are dumb. Diversification is dumb was another one. Famous. And then the fellow who now is calling for a market crash, of course, Dent is his name. He wrote a book, was like Dow 20,000. Oh, and of course, now once you get that, you want to change a couple of paragraphs in there because you need to sell new books. Then you call it Dow 35,000. Needless to say, we didn't do that. We will do that someday. So it's actually an accurate title. The same person has been screaming about Dow, I don't know, 3 or 5,000 or whatever the number is, for years now. For years. But, oh, gosh, I got to read the guy. Why? 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 When you're just screaming headlines, why do we listen to them? Why? Why does it play in our head? The more extreme the market crash, the more we want to learn more. The more absurd the claim. Well, maybe I better check it out. You know, you never know. And then, zip, zzz, just like a lure in the water, boom. Gotcha. 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 I think I'll just play it a little bit. Don't want to reel it in too quickly. That's it. I'm just going to go check out the dinner seminar. It's just, hey, it's a nice steak dinner. Gotcha. I'm just getting information on here. I'm learning. Why is that wrong on these blogs? It's financial pornography. Yeah. Psst. Gotcha. Gotcha. Reeling it in. Reeling it in. Gold. Buy a little gold. Buy our newsletter. We'll help you navigate the coming global meltdown. Part 133. Gotcha. Reeling them in. And we keep out from fear. Fear. It sells. It sells so well. So well. It's a gotcha all the time. It's hard to rise above it. So much noise. Whack jobs. Mowing people down with trucks. Blowing people up. Shooting them. Wow. So weird. Such a weird world. I mean, it's like they're not even human because of such distortion of basic human values. Basic human values. Such raw evil throws us all. But the markets are resilient, and there's two different things. Your fear of the world changing so much, not understanding why people walk around with their face in their cell phone. They don't have conversations. Hey, whatever you want to talk about, where are we going to go from here? What about artificial intelligence? What are human beings going to do down the road? How are we going to get rid of ISIS? How are we going to get rid of all the bureaucracy in Washington, D.C.? All of these things that drive us crazy. What about the next Supreme Court justices? How much more liberal are we going to be? How much further from the Constitution can we go? All of those things that are very real, we place on our investing life. That's wrong. And then we blanket everything with, I'm just learning stuff, I'm just growing, but man, I'm scared of, and we don't, yeah, I know, I'm not a frightened little girl, so I'm not really a scared dude. Yeah, we are. Emotion fears everything. All right, I got to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to keep talking about this. And I want to talk about why it's important to actually be staying and why you can't guess directionally on the market. You know that. But we're going to talk some more about it. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome back. I appreciate you putting up with today's recording. Honestly, last night, I just did this at the last minute. Thanks Ray Amaya, for being available. I just really felt compelled to talk about what keeps us from great investing. And it's fear. It is fear. Fear of a simple thing moving around in price. That's it. When price only matters twice, when you buy, and of course when you sell. And there's two things also that we have to do in life to be successful financially. You have to start investing. That's right. You that haven't started, you have to start. Or you fail. And you have to finish. You can't bail. It's really that easy. It's down to two things. You have to start, live within your means, and start investing. You have to start, or you are a financial failure. Period. Period. End of story. And you have to finish. And that, for most people, is exactly where it gets tricky, because we're smart. We're so smart. Lots of people call the program to tell me how I'm missing this and missing that. I get that, and that's fine. That's part of the program. It's the dialogue. That's part of it. Most of the time, though, it's shared ignorance. We're sharing bullet points from... Or you hear lots of things, okay? Because people like the safety of crowds. Think about that whenever we're talking about things, right? Okay? How many times have you heard somebody say, everybody thinks, fill in the blank. Everybody knows, all the economists, all of these smart people. In other words, if I could just find enough people around me that agree with whatever opinion it is I have, I feel safe in my opinion. It's the safety of crowds thought. The problem is the crowd is not
anywhere near always right, often wrong. Ask any major market trend to change. It's because everybody's on the train. Oil's going to 150. It's going to $200 a barrel. Oops. Oil's on its way to 25. Oops. So this is Talk Oil. Everybody knows. You just buy stocks. It's 1999. You just buy stocks. In the mid-2000s, you just buy real estate. What are you talking about? Why don't I have four or five homes? Flip it. What can go wrong with that? Oh, the bankers. Yeah, you know what? You don't get to buy five houses with no money down and a $25,000 a year salary. You don't. But if you want to blame the bankers for your own ridiculous idea of investing, great. Then you don't get to learn from it. Perfect. Perfect. You protect your pride. And now we don't learn. And it's the same thing when we're sitting and reading and denying all of the things that have happened since the Great Recession, the financial collapse. There was nothing that was happening, nothing good anyway, that was happening on March 9th of 2009 when the market suddenly stopped falling. That was it. You can go back and look. You will find nothing leading up to that day, shortly after, nothing good happened. Nothing. No data point, nothing. Except more unemployment. Higher and higher for months and months and months after that bottom. Nothing. Did some entity come in and buy stocks? No. Did the government do anything? No. No. It stopped falling. So for those that were like watching for signs of life, here's what happened in the market. It went up 45% in 90 days as unemployment skyrocketed and the economy continued to weaken. Now what do you do? Do I get in now 45% higher? What am I, stupid? You missed it. It's gone. Because you're trapped out. Again, trapped out. Trapped out in fear. Oh, it's not going to get better. No, 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 no. And you're right. The economy didn't get better for a long time. And it's the slowest recovery ever for a lot of reasons, from Obamacare to the apology president to the anti-business president to raising taxes. It's lots of reasons. Not all from the president either. Not dealing with the deficit, whatever problems you want to put on it. That's what we did. And then we rolled to the next problem, Europe. But that was the next big problem. We had lots of other problems. Obamacare is going to destroy everything. Not yet. Not yet. Economy is going to collapse again. The same people proclaiming that are the same people that people read and quote and say, everybody or all economists or all these really smart people who've been wrong over and 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 over again. And then we have a market correction and they're right. Are they right? Is it short-term right? Is it okay to miss a 300% move because you also missed a corresponding 15% correction? I don't think so, but you know, maybe your definition of a bumpy ride is different than mine. I would take the bumpy ride and the 300% gain. Thank you very much. We miss it. You're out. And then we roll to Europe. And you know the story. Greece, and the pigs nations, Portugal, Italy. And it's all going to have contagion and off it goes. And it's all going to collapse. All of it. And then we throw a flash crash in there. And we all know about bird flu problems and Asian flus and all those things, and all of commerce is going to shut down. Except it didn't. And it doesn't. But it sure is easy to cry wolf over and over. And if I have a big giant microphone, I got big bloody pictures in the background, I can scream and yell about the end of the world and nobody's going to hold me accountable. But for gosh sakes, should somebody talk about it being a positive future, they obviously don't know what they're talking about. Kind of weak-minded, you know. Just not as big-brained as the doomsdayers. We'll talk more about that, because I think that sometimes, regardless of what our temperament is, we think that negative thought is somehow more intellectual than positive. We really do. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO. Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome back. I appreciate you putting up with this, if you will. I just had a strong impression last night, and thanks to Ray Amaya coming in. It seems like this is timeless, so you may hear this again, even though we talked about Brexit and all this and how many people missed out on the move, how many people were out as we move again, as we always have, all of our life to all-time highs. It's the same thing, though. We're always trapped in our own fears. There's always a problem, or 10, usually 10. And there's usually 10 reasons why you shouldn't buy stocks. They're too expensive. How long have we heard that? Okay, so here's the intellectual argument, and this is why when we talk about it from a standpoint of, you know, the bears, the never-ceasing, endless bears, which is a stunning thing to me. Okay, so let me put the preface in this. It's stunning that the greatest investment for the average person, like you got $50 a month and you get to play in this. I know, it's all about Wall Street. I don't have any money. Woe is me. I was born in America. Greatest time in human history. But, oh, God, it's just rigged against me. I got it. That's how most people think. I get it. But that's all BS. It's just this stupid somehow feeling that my life is miserable because I compare to somebody that has more or has a prettier chick, better family, better kids, something. We do that all the time. But will you just kind of go with the idea that maybe this is literally available to everybody, that you don't have to be a Wall Street insider? Anytime you see that, don't open up that on your computer. Good Lord. Really? You got to be a Wall Street insider. We've carved our way through to what the really big boys are doing. Really? That's an automatic lie. Boom. Stay away. All right. Enough of that. When we think about what the market has done for our 200 years, available to the average person, why we try to figure out how we could go short it, why we would ever be bearish, is absolutely the definition of insanity. It's repeating the same behavior over and over again, but wanting different results. This has always worked for my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. It's always worked all my life. But, ooh, I'm all worried. It makes no sense to me. You can periodically say things like, gosh, man, I just can't find a lot of great values out there to buy. So I've got some cash that's kind of building up. It's not a statement of, oh, I've turned everything into cash because I'm just smarter than everybody else. And even though this generally goes up, I know right now it's going to go down. And then I know again how to flip in and get in at a low. I'm going to be right twice. I know people like Warren Buffett and all the really smart guys haven't been able to do it, but I got that nailed. Wow. Wow, is that arrogant? But we think that they have an intellectually superior argument. It's absolutely bizarre to me. Now, maybe it's just me. And I don't want to get all excited about this, but it does. It makes me all excited and fussed, I guess. I don't know. It's just amazing. It's amazing. All you have to do is start in investing, and you have to finish, and you're successful. And your parents were successful, and your grandparents, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But we want to get on, bang on the computer, find some more blogs of why it's all ending this time. It's amazing. Intellectually, we think the bears have an intellectually superior argument. So let me give you an example. It would be like, oh, yeah, really? I don't think it's really true. So let me give you a couple scenarios. So the bears come on TV, you know, yeah, I know, this is really a surprise thing, this Brexit, and what we're going to have here, unfortunately, especially for the Brits, they're going to head into a recession. And now they've got to come up with dozens and dozens and dozens of trade agreements. Their economy could be just, I mean, it could be hammered for decades. And all of Europe is going to have a tremendous contagion. Can you imagine how many countries might want to leave now? I mean, just think of it and think of what could happen after that. And all of these countries are going to be leaving. And this is going to slow down all kinds of transactions around the world. It takes years to negotiate all these contracts. And they have to do this like within a couple of years, and they've got to do dozens of them. This is a disaster. And it has global repercussions. It's going to have huge repercussions here in the United States. Imagine those companies that are trying to sell products to the Brits in a recession. It's devastating. Whew. All right, well, Dave, what do you think about this? That sounds very serious. Well, you know, Bob, history says this is going to work out okay. I think it'll be all right. Markets have done well over the long term, and I think that after a bit of a disruption here, it'll be okay. Well, Dave, I mean, don't you have some more? I mean, why will it be okay? Stocks are high. Why do you think it'll be okay? Well, history says it'll be okay. The companies will continue to sell products and grow. And therefore, their stocks will grow. Yeah, okay. All right, Dave. Well, thanks. Thanks for being here, really. You Pollyanna. We think that because a person thinks things will work out, maybe even has lots of good statistics, why? And in fact, all of history on their side. That it's an intellectually inferior argument to all that's happening now. We really do. So watch that when you watch your news. You get your information. Now, when we come back, I want to polish this off with this. Okay, we've talked about today, right? We've talked about fear, how fear sells. Fear overrides our decision-making process in life, right? And it does. Don't deny it. We can't learn from that if we do. We can't. And we've, of course, talked just real briefly, but we've talked today about how markets always recover and they bounce back. And they can bounce back very quickly. And we've talked about the safety of crowds and how crowds are A, wrong, B, fearful. Nothing good about investing. Nothing. Nothing. And I really want to talk about now, as we're closing this up in the final segment, I want to put it in a practical way of why and how we can keep ourselves in the game when everything else around us is screaming to get out. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel on Idaho's Talk Station, 580 KITO.
Hello and welcome back to our final segment. I know this is one of those things where it feels like it's all current. And I don't know. I don't know if you're listening a year from now. I have no idea. No idea. We have podcasts that sit out there for a while, too, and I may replay this. I don't know. Because we think it's about what's happening now, and that's the way financial news is. It's now. It's all now. And what we forget about is here's what happens every day in the newsrooms around the world. And I know, these guys are all really smart. Lots of them are economists and have great financial backgrounds. And here's what they do. The market went, let's say it closed up 50 points. We have to have a reason. So the market went up 50 points today because, and so what we do is we look around the room for a reason. Usually there isn't one. Truly, there usually isn't a reason. There's multiple reasons, and there's lots of reasons that nobody really knows of. Like, well, we had a couple hedge funds liquidate their yen-euro counter trade. Really? And that affected the European markets, and that triggered some algorithms in the U.S. markets. Wow. Oh, it's not just oil? I think it's oil. Yeah, it's oil. Just call it oil. That works. Let's just say it's oil or a Fed governor's remarks over lunch. We have to have a reason for something today that has nothing to do with how much money you're going to have 20 years from now. Absolutely nothing to do with it. Absolute zero. Best thing you can do is buy it, put it away, like we talked earlier. Two things you have to do to be financially successful. That's it. Two. Do you know who the best investors are? I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, like the hedge fund guy or the head of the, you know, American funds or whatever. Okay? I'm talking about generally part of the population the best investors are. Are you ready? They keep their mitts off of it. They don't think they're so superior smart, even if they are super smart, in their day-to-day business. I had a farmer in just this past week, literally retired. I mean, he's really getting up there now. And he says, and so he comes in, and we've invested for him for, you know, back when he actually farmed. So a couple decades at least, maybe, probably 3 decades. Great. I mean, this is just the core of America is what he represents. So it's a small dairy farm. And he's like, well, you know what? Hey, you know, I saw the price on this, like, move around. Should I be worried about it? Should I be doing anything with it? I said, no. Why would we do that now? I said, Malcolm, what is... Let me ask you a question about your cows. Okay? Now, when you were milking your cows, did you hurry back from the barn in the evening and check what the prices of cows were? And he said, he goes, no. Why would I do that? I see, all you ever cared about was the milk, right? Well, of course.
So if cow prices went down, you didn't think you should probably sell the herd? And he looks at me like, what kind of a planet are you on? What kind of a moron are you? Of course not. Of course I didn't do that. I said, Malcolm, then why are we talking about this? This is even different. This cow keeps producing more and more and more milk. I don't care what the price is. I care about how much milk you're getting. Don't you? And his daughter was there too, and she goes, wow, I really get it. Simple, easy. It's about the milk. It's not about the price of the cow. But that's what we think we have to do every day in this noise.
Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petzl Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzl, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzl Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petzl and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.
Better than anything else. For 200 years, nothing is close.